Amen. The Lord be with you, Hope College. Happy Friday. I know today is a visitation day, and I'm Jennifer, by the way. Woo! My name is Jennifer. I'm a pastor here on campus, and if you are visiting us today and checking out Hope College, we're so glad. So welcome, and we hope you stay. Stay for a long while. It is not often that one gets to meet one of their heroes of the faith. But this morning, it is a privilege to introduce you to one of mine. One of mine. This is Dr. Amy Sherman. Dr. Sherman wrote a book called Kingdom Calling, which transformed me utterly and my thinking about justice, true discipleship, and God's radical call to use our gifts and our talents and our work for the purpose of His kingdom. Dr. Sherman travels extensively, speaking to individuals and church groups and social service organizations about loving God and loving neighbor and doing that and moving towards restoration, revitalization, and hope. She is with us today thanks to a Lilly Endowment grant. She is speaking tonight at 7 o'clock in Graves Hall, so check her out. Amy Sherman.
Well, good morning to you all. My brief meditation this morning is actually from a little story in Luke 11. I won't read the full text, but this is where Jesus is driving out a demon from a mute person, and the Pharisees kind of get their knickers in a twist about that and say, oh, it's by the devil that you cast out the devil. And Jesus' reply is really important. He says in Luke 11, 20, he says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Sorry, I thought my little slide was on the screen already. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. I'm going to just take a guess that all of you or most of you have been asked the question at some point in your life, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? The question probably still echoes a little bit in your mind now, but that you're in college, it gets phrased a little differently. You know, you hear the voice of your father saying, yeah, and just what exactly are you going to do with that art degree? You hear your own anxious fretting, you know, I don't know what major to choose. I'm not sure what career I'm supposed to go in. But I've got really good news for you today. All of you that are visiting, you're in a lot of luck today, because today I'm going to give you the answer to the big question, what are you supposed to be when you grow up? Aren't you glad you didn't choose this chapel to skip? This is what you're supposed to be when you grow up. This is a little pink taste tester spoon from Baskin-Robbins. You hope up here in the north you still have ice cream. Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors, right? You go into Baskin-Robbins, check out the 31 flavors, and you can take one of these little pink test taster spoons that they'll give you, and you get a little foretaste of the ice cream to come. Now, just as an aside, as a sort of pastoral moment, if you're one of those people that goes to Baskin-Robbins and orders vanilla, would you raise your hand for a second? Okay, everyone, take a look at those folks because they need your prayers. I'm sorry, but 31 flavors and you're going to order vanilla? That's just, you know, something's wrong there. So pray for those brothers and sisters. But you get the pink spoon and it offers you a foretaste of the ice cream to come. And I heard a pastor in Harlem named Jeff White once say, you know, that's what we're supposed to be as believers. Our lives are supposed to be like little pink spoons where we are giving people through our lives foretastes of the coming kingdom of God. Okay? That is what you are supposed to be when you grow up. Again, in Luke 11, 20, Jesus is explaining his miracles. He says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you, has come upon you. Right? The verb tense there is super important because Jesus is saying that in him, the kingdom of God is actually broken into our time and space. When we see Jesus doing his miracles like this one, we're not only meant to see the fact that Jesus is showing wonderful personalized compassion to individuals, although we do see that, it is beautiful, but we're meant to see more. Because Jesus went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom, proclaiming that in him the kingdom had come, and then his deeds were signs and foretastes of that reality. See, when Jesus was doing his miracles, it was though he was looking into the future, fully consummated kingdom of God, and he was yanking a foretaste of it back into the present. He was always looking at Bartimaeus, and he's saying, you know, Bartimaeus, in the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be any blindness. So I'm giving you your sight today as a foretaste of that coming reality. It's as though he stands at Lazarus's tomb, and he says, you know, in the new heaven and the new earth, there's not going to be any death. So Lazarus, get up out of the grave today as a foretaste of that reality. I'd go so far as to argue that we can actually understand Jesus' mission on earth as a mission of bringing these kingdom foretastes. Now, it's not the only way to describe Jesus' mission for certain, but it's a legitimate one. And you and I, my friends, you and I, Jesus invites into that same mission, that same ministry of being kingdom foretaste bringers. And I think that's helpful for you to keep in mind when you think about this question of what you're going to do when you grow up. Whenever you're thinking about the particularities of your calling, it doesn't matter whether you're headed towards being an artist or an architect, you're called to be a kingdom foretaste bringer. Maybe you're going to end up trading on the floor in the pit in the Chicago Exchange. Maybe you're gonna be at a journalist's desks. Maybe you're gonna be in a laboratory at Merck as a scientist. Whether you're in the courtroom or the classroom, whether you're an engineer or an economist, whether you end up in the music hall or in a mine, you are called to be a kingdom foretaste bringer. And these are some of the foretaste we're supposed to be bringing. The new heavens and the new earth, it's going to be marked by perfect justice, perfect wholeness, perfect beauty, intimacy with God, joy, dignity, hope, flourishing, security, all these things and more. And through the daily work that you do, through the power of the Spirit and with intentionality, God wants you to offer people through that work these sorts of foretastes of coming realities. So how do you do that, and what does that look like? Well, let me tell you just a couple quick stories. I think it looks like this gal. Her name's Jill Kurtz, recently minted architect. Out of her faith, wanting to bring a foretaste of the flourishing of creation, she decided to be the first person in her architecture school to get certified as a green builder. It's something called LEED certification. So she's trying as an architect to create buildings that are creation-friendly and healthy for people. Jimmy Lin is a medical researcher and scientist, and he's deploying a lot of his time and effort towards helping families who have children with very rare genetic diseases, because he doesn't want these kids and these families to be without the hope of a foretaste of wholeness in their lives. Pete Leonard uses his business savvy to create a coffee company called I Have a Bean Coffee Company, and he hires ex-felons for that meaningful work in that company to give them a foretaste of redemption. Kelly Burton is using her business savvy to help entrepreneurs of color build and scale their businesses so they can bring economic flourishing, a foretaste of the kingdom, into their communities. Mitali Perkins is a writer. She's an Indian American, and as that, she kind of understands the unique challenges of being bicultural. And so she deliberately writes books that are young adult books starring bicultural protagonists so that the kids that read those can begin to get a better foretaste of dignity, that their identity is special. And Reverend Luis Cortez is trying to bring about a foretaste of greater justice in his neighborhood in Philadelphia. He leads a nonprofit ministry called Nueva Esperanza, They build affordable housing, but maybe even more importantly, they are very involved in the fight against institutionalized racism in the housing finance industry. All these folks, Jimmy and Jill, Pete and Kelly, Mitali and Luis, they are Kingdom Fortes bringers through their various employment. And being a Kingdom Fortes bringer requires intentionality and creativity. It requires imagination, requires risk and prayer and perseverance. And it requires believing that your work life here on earth actually really matters. Really matters to God, and really matters to your neighbor, and really matters to the common good. You see, being a Kingdom Fortaste bringer requires that you say, yes, saving souls is really, really important, but it is not the only important thing. Because God is restoring not just you and me individually. He's not just a God of personal redemption. He's a God of social redemption. He wants to use you, hope bringers, to be Kingdom Fortaste bringers. He wants to use you and the work that he's doing to make life on this planet actually better, bringing more justice, more hope, bringing more flourishing, bringing more community. I hope that you will graduate from hope and that you will bring hope to many in your own communities by being these kind of Kingdom Fortes bringers. That your life, as you live it, as you work in it, would give people a foretaste of that kingdom that we pray for when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. You're dismissed.